You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a look at new efforts in the state assembly to turn the tide on opiate addiction in Wisconsin.
First, President Obama is set to deliver his final State of the Union address this evening. The president has said he plans on focusing on broader themes that will affect the country in the coming years, as opposed to specific policy proposals.
The last State of the Union speech can be tricky for any two-term president. On the one hand, you're still the most powerful politician in America. On the other, you're a lame duck who has to contend with an uncooperative Congress. So with all that in mind, what can we expect from the president tonight?
Susan Johnson joins us now. She's an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be back.
Well, before we get into this specific State of the Union address, how big a deal are State of the Union addresses in general these days? Are they a place where a president really can make a difference?
I think that what State of the Union addresses are meant to do now is to set the agenda for a president, and they're very important, I would argue, early on, because they help shape not necessarily just the congressional agenda, but what the public is thinking is important. So there's the public agenda as well. However, as you get further along in your presidency, particularly in the last few years of a second term, the focus changes and the attention that's paid to them change, and the expectations are different.
So in a speech like tonight's, his last one as president, Congress maybe not looking to him to set the agenda, certainly. There are a whole bunch of other people who want to be the next president now. It may be a good idea to avoid that laundry list of specific policy proposals, as it sounds like the president is going to do?
Right. It sounds like he's not going to offer a lot of policy proposals. Those of us who watch State of the Union addresses kind of tick off how many new ideas the president puts out there, thinking that two or three or four might actually become law, and when you've got a Congress that's sort of hostile to you, that reduces in number considerably. But when you're in your last State of the Union address, as he is now, I would expect, and everything I've read has indicated, that there will not be a laundry list of new ideas. This is going to be more of a valedictory speech, I would say, broad themes and a very positive spin.
What kind of broad themes for the looking back portion of this do you think the president will highlight? What will he point to as the legacy of his presidency? If he may not be ready to use the word legacy yet, but people are going to be using it as they watch this.
Well, I think, first of all, very broadly, he's going to try to paint a positive picture for the American people. When you look at the rhetoric in the Republican nomination in particular, it suggests that the country is doing very poorly and we're in dire straits. When you look at public opinion numbers, majorities of Americans would say that the country is headed in the wrong direction. And so I believe that what he's going to try to do is key in on certain things that he sees as successes of his presidency. So, for example, the economy, very broadly, and the fact that when he took office, we were in the midst of a terrible recession. Unemployment was at about 8%, and we were losing jobs. And the most recent jobs report that came out showed unemployment at about 5% and adding a lot of jobs throughout the year. I think he'll talk about other successes in regard to the Affordable Care Act. I think he'll talk about some foreign policy successes, the Iran nuclear deal, perhaps the Trans-Pacific Partnership, if he wants to get into something that he still wants Congress to accomplish. But I think his goal is to hit on some of these things that he wants the American public to look positively on his presidency as a way to help shape his legacy, even though you're right, he probably won't use that term, but also make the environment look more positive for the Democrats who are seeking to replace him.
Some of what he's done kind of depends on having Democrats in control of some part of government when he leaves the presidency or one house of Congress or the other. There's otherwise a lot of opportunities to reverse part or all of the Affordable Care Act, the executive actions on gun control that we just saw, things like that. Is part of the goal in the speech tonight to make the case for a Democrat to succeed him as president?
Oh, I think absolutely. He's likely not going to speak about the election on either side, but I think that that's a very important thing for him to want to do is to set the stage to show that we've accomplished a lot and we want to keep the momentum going. And the only way that we can keep that momentum going is if we elect another Democrat, because it's quite clear that the Democrats will not win back control of the House. And even the Senate, where people had been thinking pretty optimistically for the Democrats, that's in question. So I think that for Democrats, holding on to the presidency is their best bet to have that key person in control of at least one branch of government.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the State of the Union address tonight. You can join in at 800-642-1234, by the way, with your hopes for what the president could say, what you'd like to hear from him. That's 800-642-1234. You mentioned foreign policy a few moments ago, Susan. Is that an issue that the president's going to want to tackle head on? The Republicans have turned a lot of their focus to that after terror attacks, chaos in parts of the Middle East, worries about immigration as a result of what's going on in Central America. Is this a sore point for the president maybe at this point in his presidency?
Well, I think that he's going to want to, again, focus on some of the things that he sees as quite positive outcomes. The nuclear deal with Iran, he would argue, has been something that was very important. The opening of new relations with Cuba and the relaxing of the embargo and things like that, the travel ban, I think he will want to point to. So, I mean, again, I think that navigating the foreign policy realm, particularly with the recent uptick in terrorism attacks and what's going on in Syria and in Iraq, is going to obviously cause some concern. But I think that, again, the Republicans have been consistently arguing that we are less safe than we've ever been in the past. They've been consistently arguing that he has no plan. And I think that he's really going to want to argue to the American public that he does have a plan and there have been some successes. And the gloom and doom that they're hearing from the Republicans is not the country that he sees, both domestically and abroad.
While he is going to be focusing, it sounds like, on the broad vision, are there things he needs to go to Congress here and say, this is stuff we need to work together to accomplish over the next year? Are there things that they have to come up with something on?
Well, I think that I think it was Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who said that maybe his goal for the year was to pass some appropriations bills. So essentially that means the regular functions of Congress.
Reaching for the stars there, yeah.
Right. And so I think he's probably going to talk about getting the trade bill with Asia passed. I think he can get that done. I think he's going to talk about climate change. I think he's going to talk about guns. I think there's some hope there that he thinks he might be able to get something, but I think he's going to call Congress to action on some of these broader issues, but I don't think that he's got high expectations that they're going to do much, particularly in terms of some of these domestic policies.
Are there issues that Democrats watching the speech are going to be worried about to having too much focus on? You mentioned the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There are parts of the Democratic base who do not like this kind of trade deal. Immigration, some Democrats are critical these days of deportations going on, raids going on over the last couple of weeks. Is he going to be walking a tightrope with his own party here?
I think so, definitely, because as you mentioned, those are two key issues, and the idea that something like the Trans-Pacific Partnership is not popular with a whole lot of the Democratic base, that same Democratic base that tends to come out more so in the nomination process that we're going through right now as well, and so he doesn't want to alienate them too much. And so some of these issues, and again, the issue of immigration, the policies that Obama has put forward on these, they're not what you would think of as traditional Democratic base issues. And so he is getting a lot of negative attention from the left of his party as well. And so he definitely has to make sure that he's not alienating the same Democratic voters that he wants to see come out in November and support whoever the Democratic nominee will be.
I want to turn to the Republican response. It's going to be delivered by South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. By the way, we'll be airing both of those tonight starting at 8 here on Wisconsin Public Radio. What do we look for in the response to the president's address?
Generally speaking, the opposition party, in this case the Republican Party, will select someone that they think is someone that they want to put forward as a good representative of their party. So the decisions that are made tend to be very strategic. And Nikki Haley, I think, is an interesting choice. She's a female governor from a southern state. She is fairly conservative, but there have been items where she's bucked her own party. I'm thinking in particular in South Carolina about the Confederate flag and calling for bringing that down and being a real catalyst to getting that down in South Carolina. So I think that the idea is that what the Republicans are trying to do in their choice of speakers is to show someone who will show the more inclusive side of the Republican Party, and I think that's important for them.
We're talking right now with political scientist Susan Johnson about tonight's State of the Union address and what we might hear from the president. You can join in now at 800-642-1234.
What are you hoping to hear from the president tonight as he settles in for his final year in office? What issues should be highest on his priority list? And is there anything he could say tonight that would determine who you vote for in the primaries or the election in November? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking right now with political scientist Susan Johnson about tonight's State of the Union address. It'll be the last one delivered by President Obama, and we're looking at what we can expect from tonight's remarks.
You could join in at 800-642-1234. Will you be watching as President Obama takes that podium one more time? If so, what do you want to hear him say tonight? What issues should top his legislative agenda in 2016? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. I'll go right to a caller. We've got John on the line in Richland Center. John, hi.
Hi. I would like him to say something about our national debt because I'm afraid that the interest alone is going to be hard to pay.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Is the debt something that the President, Susan, is likely to bring up tonight?
I think that perhaps in the context of talking more broadly about the economy, although we've seen the debt continue to increase under both Republican and Democratic presidents and Congresses, so it's not something that people speak positively of. So I wouldn't expect a lot on it, but it might come up in a broader context.
The president, or at least his supporters, have pointed toward not the debt going down, that's still going up, but the annual deficit going down since the recession. Is that something that is enough for a victory lap, or is the fact that the debt keeps going up still a net negative?
Well, no, I mean, I think that he's going to take a victory lap on the fact that the economy is doing so much better than it was when he first took office. Now, some people would argue that presidents have very little impact on the actual economy, and some are just luckier than others. But I think that Obama's not going to take that approach. I think Obama's going to speak quite strongly as to the policies that he enacted when he took office that have helped the economy rebound from the recession.
There's always a question in these speeches as to how partisan they can be, how aggressive the president of whichever party can be, given that he's speaking to his opponents in many ways, people from the other side of the aisle. How much do you expect to see versus partisanship versus olive branch to Republicans tonight?
The further the president seems to be getting in his presidency, the less olive branchy he's been and the more aggressive he's been. So I think that this isn't necessarily a time where he needs to extend an olive branch because I think he knows, frankly, that having worked with this Congress for the past several years, that, and particularly in an election year, he's not going to get anything. So maybe our listeners would like me to say that he's going to play nice because, you know, playing nice gets things done. But I think by the same token, I don't think he's seen that that's been a successful path for him in the past. And I think if anything else, I think he's been showing us that he's taken the gloves off. So I would expect it maybe not to be partisan so much as more aggressive than I think we would see in a first or second or third year speech.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Kevin on the line in Brookfield. Kevin, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I'm hoping that President Obama will address climate change because it's probably the most overarching issue that we face today.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Climate change, maybe environmental issues more generally, Susan, likely to come up tonight?
Definitely. I think that he'll talk about his decision on the Keystone Pipeline. I think he will talk about the climate deal that was signed at the recent Paris talks. And so I think that we should expect to hear a fair amount about climate change and the environment and those sorts of things, and the president pointing out many of the things that he's done. Again, for many environmentalists, he hasn't done nearly enough, but I think that he's going to want to highlight the changes, positive changes that he's been able to make.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about tonight's State of the Union address. You can still join in at 800-642-1234. What you'd like to hear, like not to hear from the president. 800-642-1234 is the number. Susan, I know you use current issues, the politics of the day, as part of your instruction for your students. What kind of things would you tell your students to watch for in the address tonight? And maybe they have to report back to you tomorrow. I don't know.
Well, we haven't met yet for the first time this semester. We're still on break.
Oh, that's right. Still break time.
But, I mean, hypothetically, I would ask them to look for some of the key ideas that he put forward. I would ask them to pay attention to whether or not he referenced the, I guess, the campaign or some of the vitriol that's come from the campaign, and then also trying to pick out what main issues that we talk about. Actually, in my writing class, we don't evaluate the president's State of the Union address. We evaluate the response. And that's always a really fun activity that they like. And so we look for what are the key things that whoever is giving the response is providing. And we like to analyze that just for fun, because everyone else is paying attention to the big speech.
We'll take another caller now. Harry is on the line in Madison. Harry, hi.
Hi, how are you? I think the president has done very well. I mean, when you look at the recovery from the recession and the unemployment rate, any president should be proud of that. But I would like to see him tackle four things. One, he must strengthen the southern border. That's an Achilles heel for any government right now. He must deal with ISIS and the threat of terror. This is a worldwide thing, and this has to be dealt with. The third thing, he must deal with immigration. And the fourth and most important, he must find a way, or any government should find a way, to bring back jobs, manufacturing jobs to this country. It's not being done by government. The government must get with the manufacturing people and the private.
All right, Harry, I want to jump in and give quite a list there. So border security / immigration, ISIS, and jobs. Kind of bread and butter stuff in the politics of today, Susan.
Right, and I think that we'll hear something about all of those things. And I think that mentioning strengthening the southern border, I think that for sure that's going to come up, because that's been a consistent thing that he's argued for, allowing for some of the other changes with undocumented workers in this country as a package for doing both strengthening the southern border and making allowances for people who are in this country and are undocumented. So I think we're going to hear that. I think we're going to hear him speak strongly about ISIS and terrorism in general. I think that he got himself in a bit of a trap because he underestimated to a certain degree the impact, I believe, of ISIS. I mean, if we recall, he referred to them as sort of the JV team, and I think he regrets that. So I think that he's absolutely going to want to show the American public that he's taking all of this very seriously.
Harry, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Wade in Howard's Grove. Wade, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I think he should talk more about the positive side of the Affordable Care Act. In the news, a lot of times you hear the sound bites from the Republicans and stuff about how it's ruined health care and all this negative stuff, when actually it's helped quite a few million people, and I think he should emphasize that.
Wade, thanks a lot for the call. And this speech comes as the House has passed a repeal of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, again. But this time also the Senate has managed to sign on, so it's being sent to the president. He'll have to veto that. So still, all these years later, Susan, a hot topic.
Right, and I think that Wade is correct, that he will talk about some of the successes. Again, as part of the broad idea in this speech of talking about the things that he's done that he wants the country to focus on that are positive, because it's correct that there have been a lot of positive aspects to the Affordable Care Act that haven't necessarily gotten the attention that he would have liked them to have received, and he's going to try to do his part to spread that.
Wade, thanks a lot for that call. Susan, as in our last couple of minutes, I want to get into the historical role of the State of the Union and how it looks today. I believe the president's required to deliver something to Congress for years that was a piece of paper. They just handed them a report, didn't actually present it. FDR, I think, was a big part of making it a live event again. How significant are State of the Unions today as compared to those of the past?
Well, they were, as you alluded to at the very beginning, they were essentially annual reports, and they were delivered and read into the record by the clerk. And then I believe it was Woodrow Wilson who began giving the addresses live again. And then they ramped up, and then they became what they are today, which is laying out the broad policy agenda for the president. So I think that they're important as events. I think they're important in terms of showing the role of the office of the president. There's a lot of ceremony that goes on. I think that the media pays attention a lot, and the American public pays attention to what the president is going to say. But I think that if you go back and look at how successful have presidents been in getting the ideas they put forward in the State of the Union address actually enacted into law, the success rates have been quite low across the board.
Because of that ceremony, do you think these make a good teachable moment, not just for your students, but for Americans in general? It's a moment to draw people into what the big issues are, the big debates are of our time?
I think it's a time where people can see what the president has to say about the big issues of the time, I think. And I guess with the response, it would be what the other party sees as the big issues of the time. But I don't know that we can take a lot of guidance in terms of actual policy outcomes from what we hear in a State of the Union address.
And briefly looking ahead at the next year, President Obama, do you see him actively pushing an agenda out, making the case for his legacy, or just kind of running out the clock here?
No, I think he's going to be pretty aggressive in working on, again, promoting the Democratic Party and doing whatever he can to get a Democrat elected. And one way he's going to do that is by talking about the successes that he's had as a president.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. She joined us to talk about what to expect from tonight's State of the Union address. You can hear that address, by the way, and the Republican response hosted by NPR's Audie Cornish. That's tonight at 8 o'clock right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.